Caroline, Willie D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And the Titans made a trade on Friday evening. L'Jarius Sneed for a 2025 third and a swap of picks with the Chiefs in the seventh round of this year's draft. L'Jarius Sneed, pending a physical, will be a Tennessee Titan for the next 4 years. And joining us now to break down L'Jarius Sneed and all things Tennessee Titans and free agency, TD Teron Davenport, brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD, always appreciate our weekly conversations with you. I want to start with exactly that, the L'Jarius Sneed trade. What do you think of the player that the Titans are getting and the compensation with the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah, I mean, I think the player is clearly one of the top cover corners in the league. It's something that is well documented. You look at the list, I mean, whether you're talking about Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs twice, A.J. Brown. I mean, the list goes on, and none of those guys got 100 yards receiving, and he was the primary cover guy going against them. So I think you look at that, you look at some of the other things. He didn't give up a touchdown over the course of the regular season. Those are all really good things. And to give up a third-round pick next year is a pretty good deal for the Titans, to not have to part ways with any of their picks this year, to get the contract to be where it's reported to be, as opposed to the $22 million that Sneed and his camp was apparently asking for. I think all of those are wins. Now, you do have the concern, right, obviously, of the knee. Granted, it didn't cause him to miss any playing time, but he missed some practice time. He missed some time in camp, apparently, and it's something that he had to deal with. But if the physical passes, I mean, this is a grand slam for Rand Carthon and the Titans.
Yeah, the deal reportedly from Jordan Schultz, $19 million AAV over 4 years, $55 million guaranteed. It's not that 22 like you mentioned, TD, but still, $55 million's a pretty penny. I did want to get your thoughts, though, on the knee.
You're going to pay a pretty penny for a guy of that caliber.
Oh, totally.
You know what I mean? So it's like, totally. You know, that's to be understood.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the conversation that we've had over the last few weeks and months, is in free agency, you're going to pay. You're going to even overspend. And you're not always going to get the most perfect prospect. It's either an age issue or an availability issue or an injury issue. What is your concern level of the knee?
Well, I don't know what the level should be. I think it's all relying upon the physical. That's really the main thing. So for me, if I had a horse in the race, I would say, you know, if the physical passes, then you shouldn't be worried. And I think you look at the fact that he's played so much, and you look at the snaps, like he played a lot of snaps last year. In fact, I think it was among the most of all defensive players. So that's something that, you know, if the physical passes, I would look at that and say, hey, they're in good shape.
We'll talk with Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL, talking Tennessee Titans. I don't know why I do that. I always get mixed up with Tim when I get ready to say it for some reason, but my fault, TD. But looking at this Titans team with the moves that they have made already, where do you put them relative to where they were prior to free agency? How much better has this team gotten? And I know they haven't started playing games yet, I get it. Mm-hmm. But just on paper, how much better have they gotten with the acquisitions that they brought here this free agency period?
I think they've gotten tremendously better. And you talk about a team needing to add speed, and I text you, I didn't realize this Sneed ran a 4.37 40. I didn't realize he had a 41 vert, a 10.9 in the broad jump, you know, a 1.51 10-yard split. Like, I didn't know that these were the things that he was bringing to the table, right? So, I mean, I think you get fast. You get Calvin Ridley, you know, you get faster there, 4.41 guy. But more importantly, you look at the tape, and he's shown that he's able to get vertical. So I think the roster has gotten much better because you added playmakers. You added impact guys that could change the game. But that Lloyd Cushenberry signing is one that just going to continue to flow under the radar. And I think when you look at him and his ability to anchor and just lock things down from the interior and keep that pocket from being collapsed from the inside is huge for the Titans. especially for Will Levis. He wants to follow through and throw the ball downfield. He wants to step up in the pocket and you know, find players down the field. And I think the key to that is having a guy that could anchor and not allow those interior pass rushers to get to Levis. So I think this team is much, much better, but there's still holes to be filled, right? I mean, you got to find an inside linebacker or you know, get a group out of Otis Reese IV and Jack Gibbons. You know, you got to figure out what you're going to do at right tackle. You got to figure out what you're going to do at left tackle. So the work is still there to be done.
Yeah, and that's why you pick a guard in the first round with the – what pick was that, 11, somewhere over there? Because you got to you got to secure and this is what people got to understand about football nowadays. No longer – we've figured out a way, for the most part, to sort of neutralize the end guys. These quarterbacks love stepping up in the pocket. They love getting the ball down the field. As long as I can follow through, we're good. But the minute they can't follow through, the minute your lines start to collapse from the inside, that's where you have problems. That's why they go out and draft a Peter Skoronski. That's why they go out and get a Cushenberry. Why? Because they've seen over at least this year that, hell, our quarterbacks are getting hurt, not because of these edge rushers. It's because they're getting pushed into the quarterback lap. So, you know, securing Cushenberry, having Skoronski right next to him, and then ultimately going to get your left tackle, I think signing of Cushenberry started something that is going to sort of trickle throughout this offensive line once they get their tackle. But I think all of it is predicated on Will Levis. No matter what they go out and do, who they go out and get, the cake, as Willie said, the cake and the icing, the cake to me is Will Levis. The icing is the Ladarius Sneeds, the Ridleys, you know, Cushenberries. Those guys are the icing. The cake of this whole thing is Will Levis. And how does he progress as a quarterback?
I think he progresses well. And the reason being is because of everything that they've done around him, right? And I like what they're doing because, look, he's on a low-cost contract, so you could invest money around him. You know, like the Seahawks did with Russell Wilson, the 49ers did with Kaepernick back in that early 2010s. You know what I mean? And I think he is going to progress. I think you look at the work ethic that he has. I think you look at just even the way he progressed during the season, right, going from the mad bomber wanting to throw the ball down the field to saying, okay, you know what? If that's not there, I don't have to force it. I could check it down or I could look underneath, you know, read the coverage from the top down, but understand that the top isn't your only option. So I think those are things that he started to do. He has to get more aware in the pocket, though. Mm-hmm. That has to be improved because there are too many times where that feel isn't there, that internal clock is ticking a little too long, and he doesn't realize, like, I got to either get out of dodge or get rid of the ball or figure something out to do. And I think that's going to be the main key of where he could have improvement. He also has to be more careful with the football, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I joke about it all the time, and I even joked with him. I said, man, you must be living right because you had a lot of passes that probably should have been picked, and you just go watch the Bucs game. But that's going to have to improve as well.
Talking to Teron Davenport, and Teron, on the Sneed front, just a couple other things to maybe you can help fill in my questions. I looked at his numbers, and I'm just trying to think back. I feel like I'm a pretty hardcore football fan, but I would not pretend to know how he would have compared in his first 3 years to the best in the league. So my question from afar is this a guy that was a good corner for 3 years and then had a career year, or has this guy always been a first-rate corner whose numbers weren't quite as good as they were last year? How would you define that?
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't always been a first-rate corner. He's gradually made improvement. If you look just by statistics, you know, he came into the league with three picks and then two and then three and then two last year. But I think really what has started to show is just a growth in confidence and just aggressiveness and the ability to travel with receivers. That's the big thing. Now, you look last year, 47% of the time he lined up in a nickel. So what does that tell me? You're literally traveling from left to right and in the middle with whoever it is, whether it's Stephon Diggs, Calvin Ridley, A.J. Brown, whoever. And I think that's the true sign. I think over the last 2 years, he really developed into a top-level shutdown corner. And the other thing that you're getting from him is a guy that could blitz, too. Like, you could send him on the blitz, and he'll get to the quarterback. So there's a lot of versatility there, and I think that's something that he just kind of grew into over the last couple of years.
I did notice that. He does blitz quite a bit from his position. My other question that you'll be better at answering than I would be, just when you change position or when you change systems, right, coming into a new team who's got a new coordinator to start with, totally different players you're playing with, and you're going to be maybe making more than anybody at your position, and you're going to have that spotlight on you. That's a lot of variables to me. How confident are you that he can make that adjustment and still play at the level that he played last year?
That's always the question, right? How are you going to do changing teams and getting money? And I think a big part of it that doesn't really get discussed is the coach. And for me, looking at Denard Wilson and the success that he's had as a secondary coach in other places, I think that tells me that, you know what, he's wise enough to take and look at L'Jarius Sneed and say, okay, look, this is what he does well. This is how we're going to feature him. And I think when you look at that, his situation is good and it's more conducive to having success despite getting the big money, despite being a guy in a new scheme. And I just love what he brings to the table as far as the aggressiveness, right? You look at that tape of he and Tyreek Hill. I mean, he jammed Tyreek Hill under the turf. You know what I mean? And those types of things, being able to press at the line of scrimmage and do stuff that you're comfortable with, I think giving him the opportunity to do that will be the key. And I have no doubt that Denard Wilson will showcase him in the right way.
Do you think, this is just me thinking off the top of my head when I saw this move, is with the situation they're in, like as we've been saying, when you go from paying Ryan Tannehill $35 million to Will Levis as your starter who's making the rookie contract from a second-round position, it's taking up almost nothing of their cap. That changes the budget so much. Same thing with Henry not being there at tailback and not paying your safety what they've been paying Kevin Byard. Is it smart maybe to front-load this contract at all? Is that a crazy thought to maybe pay some of that future credit card bill now while you're still building the roster?
Well, I would imagine that's what they're going to do. It is smart to do that while you have the – you know, limited amount of guys that you're paying a high dollar to, why not add some while you could afford it? I think that's definitely a smart thing to do and have the contracts look that way.
Titty, quickly, have you gotten any feedback on the new rule from the NFL, the hip toss rule? Because I'm sure it's going to affect defensive guys across the NFL, especially this season. I don't know how you regulate this. I really don't.
It's a tough one.
It's a tough one. But I know defensive players they got to be at their wits' end. I mean, defensive coordinators as well as players. Because how do you regulate or how do you, you know, go about making these calls during games? It's going to be hard.
Yeah. No, I haven't gotten any feedback. I haven't reached out or anything, but if you go on social media, you'll see plenty of guys speaking on it. And it's just like, okay, let's say you're trying to tackle somebody from behind, right? How do you do it?
Yeah.
Like, you don't always have the opportunity to force forward momentum into a guy. So I have no clue. It's another judgmental thing that's going to vary from officiating crew to officiating crew. They're just now starting to show signs of being able to figure out what a catch is. Now they got to figure out what a tackle is that's legal. Man, forget it.
It feels like at this point, just wrap them up in a silk bassinet.
Put flags
lay them down very gently and put flowers around them. I mean, any way to make the game safer, I'm for, but it's the execution of that, I think, is going to be interesting to see. Because at some point, you're going to have to make a change.
Yeah.
Players used to be able to hit the quarterback in the head, and it was totally fine. We've gotten that out of the game. The game evolves, and the game changes. Anything else from the owners' meetings going down this week in Orlando, either topics of discussion that have already been had or that are on the docket that you're keeping an eye on, TD?
Well, I thought Paul Kucharski did a really good job of getting Brian Callahan to talk about the offensive line, right? He he said something that we didn't know, right? Dylan Radins is going to start off at guard. He's not going to be in that mix for the right tackle or either tackle spot. I thought that was intriguing. So that's something I'll monitor, you know, and obviously continue to monitor these pro days and top 30 visits, which Joe Alt is going to be here at some point. So that's another good nugget that came out of the owners' meetings, the league meetings. So those are two things I'll be looking at.
And I was looking at a couple articles on ESPN.com, evaluation of free agency, to-do lists for several teams across the NFL from now until the draft and the draft until the beginning of training camp. There's one article I was looking at about moves that maybe didn't make sense or didn't, you know, fly off the paper as being a home run move. And I'm going to try and find it to see who actually said it. But there was one move that a writer at ESPN.com that said that was kind of confusing, and that was the Titans' acquisition of Tony Pollard. Thought that maybe the Titans would go after a little bit more of a power, bruising running back. I disagree, frankly, but TD, I wanted to get your thoughts on how you see this Tony Pollard-Tajay Spears duo working out come the season.
I think it'll work well, and these are guys of similar skill sets, right? And they offer different things. I think, actually, I'm not even going to say that because Tajay Spears runs hard too. We forget, you know, how often he makes the first person miss. So I'm not even going to say Pollard runs harder than him. I think the ultimate thing that they were able to do is get a two back backfield, right, that you don't have to worry about, okay, all right, we got to get this set of personnel guys in. We got to get this package in with this back to call this play. And that's one of the few negative things that they've had in the past with Derrick Henry is that you can't really expand the passing plays as much, you know, with him on the field. Now you could do it with both because both of these guys could catch the ball out of the backfield well. So I get what whoever wrote that was saying, and, you know, it was part of the reason why I figured, you know, maybe a guy like Gus Edwards would be in the mix. But what they've done makes a lot of sense, in my opinion.
And we know this is going to be a much more pass-happy offense under Brian Callahan. TD, appreciate you as always. Before we get you out of here, please let us know about ESPN Bet.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And it's tournament time, too, so now's the time to really take a look at it. And ESPN Bet, it is the official app of ESPN. It's ready to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring. The exclusive sports book, as I said, and you get offers and promotions from Scott Van Pelt and Stephen A. Smith, other ESPN personalities, from playoff intensity to getting on the links and out to the ballpark. There's no better time to be a sports fan. You know we got opening day coming up as well. So now if you sign up as a new user, you get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. You download ESPN Bet today and make a play. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee. For gambling problem support, call or text the TN Red Line at 800-889-9789. As always, terms and conditions do apply. All of it is there in the app, so see it for details.
TD, you're the best. Appreciate you as always. We'll catch up next week.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, we'll react to what TD had to say there. Coming up next, we'll get into your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline, Willie, and Dee Mays were brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.